Welcome back to Growing Up Millennial. This is Ian, and we have Quincy and Bristol with us for Back to School.
Whoop, whoop!
Shut up, Sage. It's fun.
It's fun.
It is back to school time of the year.
I'm going to be honest. School was not that fun for me. It's very traumatic. So I'm going to talk about something else that's kind of just like at home, like maybe you did at a sleepover during school year, because I don't like talking about school that much.
Well, this is about going back to school. Well, this is not like school.
Mine's fun, not school.
You didn't have any fun getting ready to go back to school. No, we all hated it, but... I mean, you weren't excited to see some of your friends and...
I mean, sure, but not to the extent where I had to be in a place that I didn't want to be, that you're forced to be at by the federal government.
That is true.
It's going a little deep, but yeah.
But it's like if, you know, it's like in the Shawshank when, you know, they knew people that went in and came back and they were like, oh, what's it like out there? That's how it was on back to school, like... What did you do? Absolutely nothing. What did you do?
Yeah, I was too poor to go on. Everyone would talk about going on trips. Didn't go on trips. I stayed at home. We played with our neighborhood friends all summers.
How was your summer? Yeah, that was the question that was being dropped to you.
Every single...
How was your summer?
Teacher would ask. Class, yeah.
What did... Okay, we're going to write a paper about what you did this summer. And man, you had to just come up with stuff on the spot.
How boring is that for kids like me who they just stayed home and, like, I don't know, binged Saturday morning cartoons or whatever.
Yeah, it did get a little bit older, but then, like, for me, it was like, you know, seeing where I compared to everybody else in the class, because you had those people that would grow like 36 inches over the summer and they would come back as giants, and you're like, I gotta go to PE with this guy in a few minutes. Like, I'm not trying to get dunked on in third grade.
I didn't noticed or care about growth in our bodies. What? Not something I thought about.
No, not like, oh, look at this guy. Look how much you've grown, Thomas. No, it wasn't like that. It was just like, you know, I don't want to be paired up with this monster in PE, you know, fourth period. Like, this dude is like, you know, he's jumping out the gym. You didn't have any freakishly athletic or early bloomers?
So, I went to Weatherford, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was like sixth grade. So sixth grade, I know, like, for Ian was middle school, but for me, correct, it was still elementary school, but you're like the top dog, right?
Okay.
But I was like a nerd, but I didn't like the nerds, but I also wasn't popular. So, like, I didn't really fit in anywhere. And I was not cool with the cool kids at all. So... during PE, you either... So that year, for some reason, I don't know why, but I guess maybe to get you prepared for, like, 7th, 8th, 9th grade, whatever. But they had the option during PE to do, like... what's it called? Like, band, sort of.
Mm-hmm, okay.
But I don't know. I don't think they even performed. I don't know. I think it was just, like, to teach you. Like, people got to play the flute or trumpets or whatever. And mm-hmm. I think you had to buy them or the school provided.
I think you rented them.
Yeah. Or rented. Yeah. I don't remember exactly. My dumbass chose the tuba.
Oh, you had to lug that thing around?
Lame.
Yeah, I was such a nerd. And then, well, they're like, she has... And mind you, I'm looking back now and I'm like, ew, they're kind of sexualizing me in a way. But she's like, they're like, yeah, she has big lips, so she'll be perfect to, you know, for the tuba. And so we're like, okay, yeah, we'll get the tuba, blah, blah, blah. And I tried to lug that thing and I rode the school bus.
Oh, gosh.
So I trying to lug that thing on the school bus was like unsuccessful. Like, they didn't let me take it on the school bus. And then I went down to the next level version of the tuba. No, it was like, it looks like a tuba, but it's like a miniature one. Mm. I don't remember the name of the instrument. Anyways, so I played that one, and I'm going to be quite fucking honest.
You had skills?
I had zip skills. I don't think I learned one fucking note. And so one day I went in there and I was like, I'm going to drop out. Literally, I said that. I'm like, I'm dropping out. And the guy was just like, okay.
We don't need you.
Yeah, I probably was doing worse.
We got your rental fee. That's all we're here for.
Yeah, so I, instead of going there to do, you know, band practice, essentially, I went to where the cool kids were, and I went to actual PE class, and yeah, I just didn't feel like I fit in, like, anywhere. Like, I didn't feel like I fit into the band. I didn't feel like I fit into the PE, because all the cool kids were there, and I feel like those kids kind of made fun of me for certain things.
Definitely
and
did.
So it was just kind of like, I just had a very awkward growing up. Like, I just look back and I just don't feel
like
you don't
have fond memories of going back to school.
Yeah, I there's not one thing that like, oh yeah, no, that was fun. Like, yes, there are some fun parts to certain aspects of school. Like, in high school, there were some fun parts. Like, I was on the drill team like 1 year, and I had a blast doing that. But if you were to ask me about, you know, going to actual school and like the school process, no, not fun at all. Like, I did not have fun outside of the practice for the drill team and then participating in the activities for the drill team.
But I mean, you can't think of like when you were picking your classes, when you started getting into high school, like, I want to take this. What's this going to be like? Like, nothing like that either?
No, because I feel like you didn't really have that many choices. It was just kind of like, this is how many credits you need to graduate.
You're
this
on
is
a part certain of, track.
Part of the right. reason why I probably didn't go to fucking college is because, for one, I feel like, I don't know. I'm not good at school. Never have been, and I don't plan on continuing that traumatic event in my life. So no college for me. I tried it, and it was a little too expensive and not my vibe. Not for me.
Well, what about you, Ian? Because you seem to have had a better experience. What about you and your back to school experience? What were you excited about? What did you miss? What were you looking forward to going into each school year?
Okay, so I loved going back to school. I loved getting new school clothes. I loved the back to school shopping, picking out the school supplies. No one ever talks about one of my favorite things, which is construction paper. You either had manila or you had all the colors.
Multicolored.
And this is very important in elementary school because it's on your back-to-school supply list that you have to buy. So I liked picking all that stuff out. I was always trying to get new scissors, new pencils, pens especially, yeah, matte pencils. Woo!
Yeah.
You knew you were a baller if you had a 24 pencils. Count, yep. Maybe a 36. It just kept going up. It was a escalation changer, yeah. Of matte pencils.
I will say, like, I liked the Crayola, the 64 count, because it had the little sharpener in the back, and I always thought that was so cool.
I was always so envious of that sharpener, because I was never baller enough for the 64 count, and
yeah,
I was
like,
the artist in the family. So.
How much was that? I don't even know.
Apparently, it was good money back then.
It was good money back then.
Do y'all remember getting issued textbooks? Because it starts at a certain grade. I can't remember which grade, but you would have to go as a whole class and get your textbooks and fill out your name in the school year. And then you could look to see if you had a sibling, an older family member or friend that also had that textbook.
Yep.
It's a lot like checking out a book at a library.
Yeah, I mean, I was the oldest out of everybody, so I didn't ever see or know anybody that had checked out a book or had a book before I did.
See, I had an older brother, so sometimes I would come across
Seymour.
Or Butts. You're like, oh, I know that person. He's two grades ahead of me. Yeah. funny names especially.
Like, oh, I know that person.
AC Wiener. That was, yeah. There you go. My thing was, you know, of course, the physical training you had to go through, because I remember that we had to carry around about 38 pounds of books. And I think that had to be my least favorite part of back to school, because you're already coming in with a bag full of school supplies.
That's right. Yeah.
Loaded down, and then you have to divvy them out in each class. And then you're praying that you get your locker early enough in the day, because mm-hmm. they're handing out books every period, and you're just like, Jesus. So I remember I was always excited for my locker assignment, mm-hmm. trying to trade for a better locker assignment, closer to my friends. And then I was always nervous and excited about what teacher I would get. Mm-hmm. Cause I remember, I think it was my sixth grade year, I had one of the hottest teachers in the school, and I'll never forget you. And if you're out there listening, and I hope you are, Miss Pablo.
Miss Pablo.
I'm still available, and I still miss
Stop,
you.
Stop, that's weird.
No.
And I love Third science one. Because of you. You blinded me with science.
Okay, anyway, I will say that I was never good at math, especially like algebra and stuff, mm-hmm. until my ninth grade teacher. And he was a really good teacher because he just like explained everything very clearly for my learning style. But also he was very good looking. I don't remember his name though.
Oh, but I'm not allowed to perv out on this podcast.
I think that was the only like good looking guy. There wasn't a lot there. Okay, for girls, there's not a lot of guy teachers that you're like, ooh, he's hot. Like chemistry, I had this old ass fucker who was also a coach, and I'm like, why are y'all even teaching this? Y'all are just doing this for a paycheck because y'all have to.
Teaching us, yeah.
Yeah. They're just there to coach. That's what their coaches
That's
are
their primary.
And those were like, the best. Those were the best science teachers. Though,
no, because not
they
for
didn't,
me.
They didn't
not
do a
for
lot
me.
Of work.
No, my science, my chemistry teacher. I hated that class because he gave out so much work, and he was not a very good teacher.
Should have joined a sports team. You would have got out of it.
I was on the drill team in high school. That is a sports team. At that school.
Is that ROTC drill or just
no,
regular?
It's
drill?
Like a dance
it's
team.
Like dance. Oh, okay. But it's like
they it's look like drill. What is it? The Rangerettes.
Oh
yeah, like the Kilgore. Okay.
Kilgore Junior
Rangerettes.
Like
it's just like
hat.
That, like the cat like the cute cowboy hat that's like sequins.
It's different white, than a cheerleader.
Oh yeah.
Way different.
The white cowboy boots. Mm. And then you have, you know, your outfit's like different every season or couple of seasons. But yeah, basically it's just like a cute top. Normally it has sequins on it and then like a black skirt with or without sequins. But yeah, I mean, every drill team is different. I don't think that drill teams are very popular outside of maybe Texas. Like I know when I lived in Colorado, like I don't think they have drill teams there. I think it was like strictly cheerleading.
Everybody's getting high out.
Dude,
but they have the budget for it, so I mean, it's one of those.
They
things.
Gave away a car that I don't know why, but my ex and I, when we lived out there together, we went to a high school football game mm-hmm. just to try to get this car like in a raffle, and then like two people behind us got it. Damn. It was crazy.
What school district is this? Because I want
to. I have no. It was in Colorado. I have no idea. But yeah.
Well, you know they just sold the Broncos to Walmart, right?
Gross.
Yeah. They 41, I think, billion or no, 4 something billion.
Yeah. Most sports teams are going to be, you know, $1 to $3 billion.
And that's where we put most of our money.
But hear me out. The silver lining of this was that I think it was 2% of the gross sale goes back to the individual counties that help fund the construction of the
stadium.
The stadium. So I think that was like $41 million divvied out amongst all of the counties that actually helped build it on top of their initial investment, of course. But
Yeah, that's big budget stuff right there.
That's right.
Yeah, that's a little over my head. I don't really care that much about football or any sports for that matter.
Well, hey, in Texas, high school football, Friday Night Lights, it's a culture in itself.
Big thing, yeah.
Yeah, I was part of it.
Yeah. I mean, I will say back then, like, yes, I did love those Friday nights, you know, because I was part of that culture, obviously dancing at, you know, what's it called?
Was it during the game or halftime?
Halftime, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I really enjoy that aspect. If I had to go and pick something that I really enjoyed, it would be that piece.
Yeah.
And I think that's like the most that I would say. Other than that, my, you know, going to school and going back to school, like I don't really have fond memories of that.
Sure.
Just because I just didn't really enjoy school that much.
I don't think you're alone in that. That thought or that, that, you know, I would say it was maybe split between people that hated school, loved it, or just had, because you had to do it.
Right. And yeah, I mean, a lot of the kids who were like me, or, you know, who maybe didn't have as much money, or, you know, maybe weren't as smart as some of the other kids, you know, and then
involved with extracurriculars,
and
clubs, groups,
all that extra stuff costs money, and it's money. Not a lot of kids can be able to afford all of that. So it just
unless it's school provided.
Yeah, and it just kind of makes people, you know, not be able to entertain those ideas because they don't have the funds to be able to do it. It's like all they can do is literally go to school and come home.
Right. Some kids, you know, have to work. They can't be at school. All
right. Yeah, some kids literally...
Once you're old enough, you know.
Right.
Yeah, some kids literally help fund the money that comes into their family, unfortunately, and so they just don't have the time. And, you know, I was lucky enough 1 year to be able to go, you know, do the drill team thing. I'm not going to say that it was, like, super supportive. Like, I didn't have a lot of family going every game to come see me dance or, you know, come. I don't even know.
Then you're more doing it for yourself and for your teammates. And
yeah, and I wanted to do it because I really enjoyed it. I had friends on the team. And I mean, I know, like, for you, like, you enjoyed it because, I mean, you were in the football and all that stuff. And
yeah, I played every sport in middle school and eighth grade. In high school, I played 2 years of basketball. Then I gave it up. I played 4 years of football. And I also did 1 year of powerlifting because my school did not have a team until that very year. So they forced us football players to be on the first ever powerlifting team. So we did kind of set up a legacy in that regards. But I wasn't breaking records, obviously, because you can look at me and tell I'm...
Well, can I piggyback off of that? Because like you said, you know, my mom worked full-time. So I had a single mom, and I didn't get to participate in the extracurricular activities, but my mom was in college at the time when I was in middle school.
Yeah.
And so I remembered she would work during the day, and then in the evening we would have to go to LSU S in Shreveport for her evening classes. So it would be like 5 o'clock until 9 o'clock. I would be stuck on campus. So I had to go there, do my homework, and I'll never forget I walked by the weightlifting room because they would just let me go in the gym because that was the one place I could run around and, you know, not be a nuisance to everybody. So I'd do my homework in the library, run across the campus to the gym, and they would always let me in. And one day Coach Kelly sees me just in the gym, just running around. And then he says, you know, what are you doing in here? And I said, well, I'm just waiting on my mom to get done. And I was asking him if he could, you know, grab me a basketball out of the storage area because I knew he had keys.
Yep.
And then he's like, well, why don't you come in here with us? And I said, well, what are you guys in there doing? And he said, this is weightlifting. And I was like, I don't know how to do it. And he's like, I'll teach you.
Aww.
And Yeah, he took me in, like, didn't charge me anything.
And this was at LSU?
Yes, yes.
That's cool.
Oh, wow.
And it was really cool because he took me in. And so I guess when my mom came looking for me, she's wondering, you know, where I was because mm-hmm. I wasn't in the basketball gym. And she sees me in there, and Coach Kelly goes and talks to her. And, of course, single mom, you know, dad wasn't around. And he was like, well, he can come here. Mm-hmm. Just bring him here as soon as you get here.
That's awesome.
And so I would literally be in there powerlifting from 6 o'clock till 9 o'clock, Monday through Friday.
Wow.
Sure.
And, I mean, that just, you know, it opens up a whole new world for you. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not to diminish the power of sports and extracurricular activities, but they do have their place for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned a lot from doing it. I wish I had stuck with it, but I wasn't wearing those singlets at all. I wasn't feeling that at all back then.
Yeah.
That was a little too weird. But other than that, I won some medals. I made some good friends. I met some really cool people. I got to travel sometimes on the weekends. And that is one thing that I won't forget was getting my first, you know, first place medal.
Oh, wow.
In my category. Yeah. And then going back to school the next day, you know, wearing it. And then it's like,
sure,
this is what I'm doing on the weekends, you know. And none of my friends were doing it.
You found your niche.
Yeah,
for
sure. Yeah,
that's cool.
And how old were you when that started?
Oh, God. How old were you in sixth grade?
Like 11, 12.
So I was probably like 11 then.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I was September, so I was always a year behind everybody else.
Hmm. I mean, that's honestly kind of cool.
But you know, I he never made me feel bad because he understood, like, you know, your mom's in college and she works full time, and so that was my evening basically. And mm-hmm. you know, he just felt like I don't want to rob him of getting a, you know, from being a kid basically.
Yeah.
He needs an outlet too, instead of just sitting there waiting, you know, for her to get out. So I remember her doing LSU, and you know, that was one of the big things going back to school, was I got to see all my weightlifting friends, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, not to hijack your topic.
No, oh, that's no. Not my topic. Let's get into some topics.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Who's gonna lead us off today?
I think I should go last. Okay. I'm going to go last today because we have a little activity.
I got you. I don't mind going first. If
yeah, why don't you lead us off, yeah. Quincy, and I'll go second.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my few little broad topics, not to get too far out there, is you gotta give me your best back to school experience, your clothes shopping, and your school supplies. What grade did you have the most school supplies and most crap that you had to buy? And then, of course, what is your favorite, maybe your best teacher? Because, you know, you have those years where you get garbage teachers and you just can't help it. Or you get in a class with your best friend. I remember mine was, I was in class with my best friend in the fifth grade. And Chris Nazio, shout out to you wherever you are. We lost touch. But we were going hard in class all day, every day.
And were y'all like the class clowns?
We were worse. We were worse. We would roast everybody. We would get in trouble together. We were getting kicked out of class together. Like, if I was going to do something, I would just look over at Chris and be like, we're doing this right now. He was a ride or die.
That's funny.
Wow.
Okay, so answer all of those questions.
Well, I wore uniforms until high school. So that was lame as hell.
Yeah, dude, uniforms suck balls.
School dress codes. Yeah,
yeah, uniforms suck, but I'm kind of glad now that I'm older, because there wasn't a whole lot of, like, comparison going on. I mean, other than shoes, but,
yeah,
you know, it's like, we're all wearing the same thing in here. Like, there's no pair of Dickies that are better than the other pair of Dickies, or khaki pants, or whatever. It's a white polo. It's a blue polo.
But also, there's no, like, self-expression. You know what I mean? Or not enough of it.
Well, I mean, I could see it from that angle too, but then I could see how you wouldn't want to make other kids feel less, because it was like, as long as you had a polo shirt and khakis or navy blue, you know, pants on, like anybody could get those. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, you cut down on a whole lot of, well, I'm better than you because I have on this. And it's like, we all look the same.
Yeah. So, I will say that is a good point for sure. But I only experienced that, I think, once. So in third grade, I moved schools 3 different times. Long story short, my parents were getting a divorce, kind of moved around a lot. So I went from this teeny tiny little baby town, like, you know.
What's the population?
I have no idea. It's not like I look that shit up on the daily.
You don't know it from memory. Sure. Yeah, it was 2,500.
Right. Like, just a tiny ass town outside of DFW. On your own
town just to make sure they're not.
Look at the population growth.
Right. Yeah, I think it's like north of like Mineral Wells. So there's a school called Garner ISD. I went there from kindergarten until third grade. I'm not going to go into what happened, but basically then at one point I get moved from there. So I had a class of maybe, I don't know, if there's 25 to 30 kids per class, so maybe 50 to 60.
It's a pretty big classroom size.
Is that a lot?
Yeah.
Okay, how big is a class?
30 or less.
That's what I said, 25 to 30.
I'm sorry. That's still a big class if you're saying it's a small town.
If it's a small town.
Yeah.
Unless that's your whole grade.
Right.
I think that's the whole grade.
Oh, okay. Wow. Well, then that's well, yeah,
that like sense. 60 for that grade, maybe. So like, that's a big maybe. Grade, yeah. Okay. Like, first grade, I think there was 2. I want to say for kindergarten, there was only 1, but maybe there was 2, but I don't remember. But anyways, so then I went to Irving, Texas, which is like inner city,
major crazy, metropolitan, you
know, like completely different from the vibe that I was in, like in the country, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I'm moving to the big city. It was a complete culture shock for me and, you know, my 2 sisters at that time. And I think we did have to wear, at one of the schools, or I don't remember, but I feel like I did have to wear like, you know, blue or khaki pants and then like a white polo or something like that. But then maybe I'm getting my memories mixed up of maybe it was a school that we were looking at. I don't really remember. And then I ended up going to Peaster, which is almost back to where I started. And another small school, you know, not small as big town as like, you know, Fort Worth ISD or something. I mean, Garner literally is so tiny. It goes from kindergarten to 8th grade. And then in 9th grade, when you get to high school, you have to choose between 2 of the bigger high schools, between Mineral Wells or Peaster. And so they don't even have a high school. That's how tiny it is. It's that tiny little
so
town.
So when you say you were in that culture shock going from Mineral Wells to Irving, like, mm-hmm. how did you feel going back to the country?
It felt more at home, but because again, it's a different school, like it didn't feel like completely there, you know, like I felt like in the same area, I knew where I was at, I know the roads and all that stuff, but at the same time, it's still a different school setting, so it is a little bit different. And I don't feel like I was able to make friends easily that year. And then even into whenever I, you know, my mom finally got a place and I went to Crockett Elementary, I think is what it was called in Weatherford, mm-hmm. which is where I basically grew up from there. But that would have been in 4th grade, and it felt like I didn't really fit in at Weatherford even. And it just, I don't know, I just kind of felt like all over the place with my growing up.
Okay, so the big transition was 5th grade to 6th grade for me, going to middle school, because you're there mixed in with the 7th and 8th graders. And my brother was an 8th grader, and there was a fear going around about sixth grade jack-up day. They were going to beat you up, the eighth graders. Sharpen your pencils. Get your weapons ready, because you were going to get hazed. You're going to get messed up. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like, this is not like elementary school back to school.
Welcome to Shawshank.
So I'm worried the whole time going into sixth grade. But I knew a lot of the eighth graders, okay. Not so much seventh graders, but sadly I used to beat up. Sometimes my brother would get picked on and I would have to step in there, so it didn't bother me. So I was,
oh, Ian had hands back in the day. Okay.
Yeah, there's a few stories, but nice. I was ready for it, but middle school had dress codes, right? Mm-hmm. So it was either khaki or navy blue shorts.
Yeah.
When it came time to for like fall, winter clothes, you could wear denim, I think. I'm pretty sure. But you could wear khaki pants or navy pants if you wanted to. As far as shirts went, as long as it wasn't like profanity or some nasty whatever, you could wear whatever shirts. But they encourage you to buy your middle school sold shirts. Hey, it's McLean Middle School. Let's wear... We were the Cardinals. Lame. I'm sorry.
Okay, but I did love... Like, when I got to high school, I loved all the t-shirts that they would make. They were always too expensive, and I'm like, damn, I really want that shirt. I want that Go Roo shirt or whatever the fuck it was. And shaking, I love the blue and the black and the white.
Her mascot in high school was the kangaroos.
That is
so fucking lame.
No, it's not. Have you seen the roos? Like,
kangaroos are ripped. Don't get me wrong. What does that have to do with Texas?
Exactly.
Nothing.
We're down under.
See, we were cool. Thunder, I was a tiger under. Everywhere I went. I was.
My high school was Panthers.
See.
Oh, Panthers. Okay. Listen. Every time we have a password, and he answers something, and he's like, "What's the little question? What's your high school mascot?" You know what he puts?
Panther.
Well, everybody knows how to hack into Ian's account now. Hold on.
One panther. Not Panthers with an S.
That's right, Panther.
That's right. It's just the one.
It's just one
Panther.
Panther.
Like, and you know what I say? Kangaroos with an S.
That's so lame. My stuff was cool because I was a yellow jacket, which was black and gold, my freshman and sophomore year. So we were stinging people. Then after that, I went to the hood in high school, and then I was a green oak giant. And it was literally the...
Jolly Green Giant.
We were the Giants.
That's out there. That's different.
Yeah, that was different. But our color scheme was whack because it was green and yellow like the cans. And I'm like, oh, that's so fucking lame. And then finally, my senior year, I was a tiger. So
yeah,
I had some pretty cool mascots.
Yeah, I graduated. So I didn't graduate from Weatherford. My senior year, I went to Arlington Martin High School. And Warriors. There are the Warriors, and I'm like, that's so lame.
What?
Like, Warriors. I feel like there's Warriors.
There's okay. There's a movie as called a mascot the Warriors,
for every other school,
and there's a or song the Bulldogs. Called, I am the Warrior.
They probably play that too. Whatever it is,
I would love that. I would love that. Yeah.
No, I want to be a kangaroo. I want to be different.
She missed her old school. There's nothing wrong with that.
I want to be an owl or something.
Okay,
an owl, I could see an owl.
But like, that's kind of cool.
It's just lame.
So, Quincy...
Or, like, bear, that's kind of lame to me. No, like, I don't want to be a bear.
Our principal in middle school was Miss Whitfield. She was a small black lady.
Shout out Miss Whitfield. Played
no games.
She ain't playing no shit.
She did not play around.
Let her catch you outside of class.
You talk about intimidation scale, it was up there. So she didn't tolerate sagging and bagging or gang activity, okay?
That's right.
So all the white kids... There's
a whole lot of gang shit going on.
All the white kids wore college, what they call game hats.
Mm-hmm.
So it would say University of South Carolina. But instead it would put whatever their mascot, which was Gamecocks, instead it would say Cox.
Stop.
So all these guys that I went to school with wore game hats, including myself. I had a big collection. University of North Carolina.
Where's that collection now, Ian?
Oh, I got rid of it. Sold it. Notre Dame, Fighting Irish. Mm-hmm. You would go to Lids at the mall, get you a new game hat, rep your college that you're never going to go to or never been to.
Yep.
So she banned those hats. She said, no, that's gang activity.
You can't wear it. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. That's right. So the only game.
That's a little intense. I can't. Dude, that's.
The only game hat you could wear said McLean Cardinals, built in the same style. But it was so funny because I had all these hats. I had 30 of them.
I remember my grandpa gave me his. What's Kansas?
Jayhawks.
The Jayhawks. Is it the red and blue bird? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember he gave me his hat, and I had that thing forever.
Yeah.
Was it gang activity related?
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Rep your school. Rep your college.
Put your click up. Shout out, Grandpa. I miss you.
But also, besides the gang activity I was involved in, that's also when I got my first pair of boots, cowboy boots. That I wore on a regular basis.
I got my first pair of cowboy boots for Christmas, I think freshman year. They were a pair of Justin's, and I miss those boots. I miss those. I wish I had those boots. But no, I was going through this emo phase, and I wasn't wearing the boots, and I thought they were uncool, and I ended up selling them on eBay for stupid $25, because my stepdad like hates anything that I like, and he's just like, yeah, they're not worth the blah 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 blah, and they were probably like $150 boots, and like I could have got probably $100 for them because I barely wore them.
This is Crystal's, Bristol's Edgelord origin story. After she got rid of her boots, that's when my chemical romance snuck in.
Yeah. Listen to them. But I didn't. So I know my sister, one of my sisters, had, you know, bought albums, or, you know, we would stream music or whatever we did back then in high school and stuff. And I know we did buy a bunch of CDs still at that time because we had a big boombox player. Because it was me and my two real sisters and my stepsister Christy, who was on two episodes ago, and we all shared this like big room downstairs when my mom got with my stepdad and we moved to Arlington together. We all shared that big room, and we had a bathroom and everything, and that room was painted like periwinkle with black stars everywhere. And we were all in this weird emo phase, and just like the Chuck Norris. Is that what it's? No, I said Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris.
We were all in a Chuck Norris phase, I'll tell you that much.
So, did you ever go through that Chuck Norris phase?
So Chuck Taylors and Vans and whatever the E shoes were and the DC
Chuck
shoes.
Chuck Taylors were emo in high school.
They were. And really? We had the emo haircuts. Like, we would have, like, the weird, like, side bang thing like, the super straight hair. We went to these. They would have down the street at, I think it was called Molly's. It was this, like, hamburger place in Arlington. Mm-hmm. They would have these shows, that they would put on that were like emo bands. Mm-hmm. And so we would go, you know, not every weekend, but, you know, once a month or something like that, we would go to a show.
It's full of angst.
And
black hair dye and mascara.
Yeah, like the super thick eyeliner, just like ridiculous. And looking back, it's like, what were we doing? Like, I probably looked like such a big nerd, and like I had no style. I had dumb braces on, like, just awful.
Well, there were some good things that came out of the emo phase, I think.
Dude, honestly, like, I still love some of the music that we listen to, and I still, you know, I'll still play some of that music. I mean, we got some really, really great music from that time, especially like it brings you back to, you know, if you were listening to that music, it really brought you back to that. Like, if you listen to it now, it brings you back to that time period. and like all the emotions. You know what I mean?
I'll tell you a quick story about what got me into the emo phase. Because for me, it didn't hit until, I want to say, sophomore year, when it was like Ed Hardy everywhere and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. But back in middle school, back in, I'll say, seventh through eighth grade. Yeah. Yeah, seventh through eighth grade. I met this girl. And I won't say her name, but just know I'm thinking about you.
Stop.
man, she was, but I mean, you got to understand, back then, like, you know, every girl that you like is just like, you know, oh my God. And she was just this emo chick, just this weird, you know, super dark Nightmare Before Christmas wearing every day, black hoodies, black jeans, black nail polish. She was so hot to me because I wasn't used to that because I was in church every Sunday.
Yeah.
And man, I'll never forget the first day I was talking to her, and her friends are like, "Why are you talking to that black guy?" And she's like, "Well, he's kind of cool." And I remember she came up and she gave me a kiss.
Oh, wow.
Really?
But it wasn't a regular kiss.
It was a Frenchie.
It was a... First of all, she initiated by licking all the way up to my ear.
Wait, she licked your cheek or something?
Yeah, she went, ugh, like Austin Powers
style. Like in Pam and Tommy?
Yes.
When he licks her face?
That's
and then they go around the circle and lick each other's faces.
Pretty much. And then she, you know.
She was anti-regular kissing.
Yeah, but then she gave me a full-on Frencher. And boy, you talk about sparks flying that day. Biology wasn't the only thing mixing that day.
Stop.
So anyways, you know, I'm on cloud nine, right?
Yeah.
So I get home and I'm experiencing some truly beautiful emotions. Back when you could experience those.
All right.
Beautiful things. And then next day I wake up and I'm sick as a dog.
Ew.
Straight up mono. Out for 2 weeks.
Okay, what were your thoughts after that? About the girl.
You want me to be honest, or you want me to just like...
Sure. You're glad that you got mono?
I'd go back and get it again.
Stall. dude, there was a girl... I think it was mono. There was a girl out for mono at my high school for months. Because I don't know if she kept... like retracting it, or is that the word? I don't fucking know.
She kept pulling it back inside.
She kept getting mono. She was out for months, and she was okay. I don't know if you had those type of girls at your high school. We had like the popular girls, and then we had like the mean popular girls. That was
like Mean Girls.
No, those are. That's a different breed that we don't have here in Texas.
Oh, okay.
I don't think.
We got them because on Fridays we wore pink.
That's Wednesdays. Get it right.
Oh,
get it tight. Anyways, we had like the popular girls, and then we had like the mean popular ones, which were, they weren't like popular, I would say, but they were like, they would hang out with the popular kids, and then they would be mean to all the unpopular kids. Like they were your in. Like if you could be friends with the mean ones, you could be friends with the popular ones. You know what I mean? I don't know.
I was friends with them, yeah.
I was not friends with anybody except for the lower level people, and I didn't like hanging out with the lower level
people. Were y'all janitors or something? What were the lower level people?
Just a bunch of poor people.
They were all in the mail room and shit together. Why are you saying
like the
that?
Smelly kids, like no offense. Like I took a shower every day.
The kids that had to grab the plate lunch in high school.
I was on the free program, okay? We were that poor.
I was balling on the free program
too. Yeah.
We had off campus lunch in high school, freshman year through senior year. So if you had to eat in the cafeteria, you may have been judged for it.
See, I didn't get that until my senior year, but I was making money then. So
at Weatherford, before they built a new high school in like 2001, maybe, or 2000, something like that, it used to be off-campus lunch. Mm-hmm. And I don't even think they had a cafeteria. It's like if you didn't have a lunch or bring one, you didn't get a lunch.
Damn.
Or if you didn't have money, Because I seriously, I don't think they had a cafeteria. And anyways, and then they built a new high school, and then all the ninth graders from the two middle schools go to the ninth grade center. Sounds like a fucking jail sale. Anyways, so they built a cafeteria in there. It's like an extension off the building. So you have to eat at the school, and then at the high school. You know, you have to eat at the high school. But then in Arlington, it was like that, like where your high school is at. It's like off-campus lunch. But I will say at that school, they had a really good, they had, you know, different lines for different stuff, like hamburgers, chicken sandwiches, stuff like that. Dude, their chicken sandwiches, bomb. I swear to God, they came straight from Chick-fil-A. Like, see, they were delicious.
I grew up in Louisiana, so the school lunch was never bad.
I'm going to be honest. I do not miss Salisbury steak. Not my favorite meal. That's one of his favorite meals. I do not miss those square pizzas. I can't stand it. It grosses me out. I liked Thursdays when they bought Mr. Jim's, and I don't even like Mr. Jim's pizza, but they bought Mr. Jim's, and I was like, this is real pizza. I can eat this.
Mr. Jim's?
No, it was better than the squares.
No, when you get that little bit of char on there, when it turns that golden brown, and you get a corner piece.
It was better than the squares.
That was the truth. What are you talking about?
It was slightly better than the squares, and that's what we had to look forward to. See, was Thursday.
This is how I don't trust Bristol, because she didn't even mention fried chicken day.
Fried chicken
day. I don't know what fried chicken day is.
I remember we used to. You never had fried chicken as one
we
of
had
your
chicken
schools?
Nuggets.
No, we but, had fried chicken.
Okay, that's probably why Louisiana is probably not on, you know, like the higher levels of education.
Maybe, but we know how to eat. We know our way around the kitchen. And we would race for fried chicken day. Did you have fried chicken day, Ian?
No, we did not.
You didn't have fried chicken?
I don't think
we had
that here.
We had steak fingers.
Yeah, they would have steak fingers.
Steak fingers.
That was a big deal.
Chicken nuggets. I loved the mashed potatoes and the gravy.
What about the beef tails and rice?
I don't know what that is. I've never heard of that in my life. What's beef tails?
It's like the cubes of beef, but it's got the gravy and then the rice.
Nope.
Like beef tips and rice.
Yeah. I don't think they had that.
Man, that was one of my favorites, too.
I'll tell you what. I would go for the hamburger. The hamburger was pretty solid. I could eat one of those right now.
I just remember they would always have the hamburgers in that like the water. And it like, it weirded me out. Like, why is it in water?
Sign me up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, like, weird.
I'm down to go, like, sneak into a school cafeteria just to try to eat one of their lunches again.
Yeah, like, what does it taste like? Oh, if you have a kid, I think you can.
Comment in the comments if we can sneak into your kid's school to eat their school lunch.
We'll do an Instagram poll. The best,
we need to go test these schools' lunches.
We need to go see what's up, because if it's vegan, I'm writing the president, because we just can't have it.
I feel like they were always pushing, like, Frito Pie, Chili Mac, Frito Pie, Hamburger
like
Helper.
That's not good.
We had Rotel dip, so that was...
Jesus. We had the most bland-ass lunches here in Texas.
Oh, my God.
We did not have fried chicken.
But there was an unhealthy factor, because in middle school, they had the snack bar. The snack bar is where you got those pre-wrapped chicken sandwiches and hamburgers and all your chips and nachos and
candy
just
bars.
Junk food across the board. Yeah. It's like, I'm not going through the regular line. I'm going to the snack bar.
Yeah. But the snack bar, it's like you always had to pay for it. It's like that stuff wasn't free. If you wanted extra this, extra that, or if you wanted chips or something, you always had to pay extra
for that. Potato
wedges,
you get a whole...
Oh, yeah. I don't think I like potato wedges now, but, I mean, it's a happy sacrifice for...
What?
Yeah.
Okay, we got to do an investigation on Bristol schools, because
I did not.
She's just not
I'm
having
just
a
telling
good time
you, I just
anywhere.
Did not have a good experience.
We need to do some investigation.
Here's the other thing. Why do they not offer, like, water for a drink. You know, like, it's like regular white ass milk. They got 1%, 2%. They got chocolate milk and they got strawberry. I 100% never deviated from chocolate milk. But I'm like, can I just have a water now?
They offer water now. I had water.
I didn't have water. Again, you went to where?
Louisiana.
But
I was lactose intolerant, so I couldn't drink.
You had to have an option.
Yeah. That was one of the things that...
Maybe they have more options nowadays, but yeah, back then, I feel like it was just those three options. White, strawberry, chocolate.
I'd like to do a deep dive on the lunch you would bring to school. We'll do that in a different episode.
Yeah.
I could go off on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, I can't do a whole episode on that, but...
Not an episode, but like a topic.
Throw in a couple things, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. So we've discussed the school lunches.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ian, best school grade that you remember, like from the opening day, you get there, everything falls into place and you're like, it's going to be a good year.
That's a tough question. I would have to say, I'm going to go third grade. I had my homeroom teacher taught, what was it called? Not social studies, but they had a different term for social studies. Maybe, but this guy was an architect. His name was Mr. Renta. He put the chalk in that little holder, the little silver holder where you could extend it out.
Just use the chalk.
No. If you're an architect, you use a special tool that helps you draw.
Is he an architect?
Yeah, he was.
Oh.
He was legit. But he came to teach us. So he was like the teacher to get because he was a younger guy. He's about 6'2", 6'3", somewhere in there. Mr. Renta.
How handsome was he? Yeah?
He's a good looking guy. I think the female teachers like
him. See, it makes a difference, see?
But that's the class we made all the dioramas of like Native American tribes. We learned all about different groups within Texas and across the country. And we just were building things constantly. And it just really challenged us. And it was just artistic along with the architecture and just a lot of fun, a lot of school supplies you had to bring for that class especially. Mm-hmm. But that was the teacher to have. Because the other teacher, if you got Miss Kaiser, she was from New York. She was old school. And all she bragged about is how we mispronounce everything as Texans and how she used to go to school that took her miles to walk in the New York snow. And that's all we heard is how weak we were because we rode the bus, walk to school, and we pronounced pecan, pecan. So we were weak.
I think it's Texans. Pecan.
Oh, she would scald you for that.
I don't know. I don't think it's so. Like the caramel... caramel debacle, like I don't give a it's fuck. Like it's Kansas whatever I whatever comes
Arkansas.
Out of my mouth.
When have you ever been to Arkansas? So why is it called Kansas? You don't go to Kansas City, you go to Kansas City.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's one of those things.
So yeah, that was a big year. Third grade was a make or break year.
Nice.
So, anyways, what was the question that you asked him, or did I already answer?
You didn't answer. I was just asking, like, the year that you knew, like, it's going to be a good year. I got the best teacher.
Not one single year.
Edgelord Bristol.
Gotta be emo.
I had terrible teacher. I had one good teacher. She was a dance teacher. Of course, she didn't actually teach, like, a... you know, English or language arts or history or something like that. So
But did she inspire you?
She was an inspiration. Yeah, I would say she's probably like the one that I look back at. And unfortunately, she left Weatherford. And I think she teaches dance now in Keller, maybe. I don't know if she's retired now. Or, but yeah, she was definitely like very missed by all of the dance people at Weatherford when she left Weatherford. And she's very big inspiration there. Miss Ezell, E-Z-E-L-L, she's amazing. And I'm sure she inspires a lot of people. And, you know, I think, like I said, I think she's at Keller or wherever she's based out of now. I'm sure she's a huge inspiration there too. But yeah.
Shout out to all the teachers that actually inspired.
Yeah. Students. Shout out to, yeah, all the teachers who really put in the effort, and even the ones who maybe have a little bit harder time, but the ones who really like inspire us, like, for
the
sure.
Good ones, they don't let you, you know, it's not like they're good or bad students. It's like they right. just grab you and bring you in, and they don't let you go.
Right.
And I miss those times.
But it's not like they're forcing you. It's more like, you know, you're under their little, like, you know, arm or whatever, like you're under their wing, and they're just kind of guiding you. And I don't really feel like I had a teacher, like I have a hard time pinpointing that in my life, of pinpointing an actual like physical teacher that taught, you know, one of the core you know, grades or whatever. And so I don't really have that too much. Maybe some teachers back when I was very little, like at Garner. But then even I was telling, you know, Ian about some of my traumas last night, and like I got in trouble for this thing that I was doing, and it was a literal call for help, and I didn't get that help. I literally got in trouble, and it honestly, like, I look back at that and I'm like, dude, that teacher could have helped me. And said she, you know, she reprimanded me. And it's like, we need teachers to really look out for those type of, you know, things that children are going through that they don't have the words to express at that point. Sure. And I think if a lot of teachers could do that, I know, like, Lord knows they already have so much on their plate, and they just keep getting piled on and piled on with, you know, the stuff that the state hands down in all of these different states and stuff. But at the same time, it's like, if you're an inspiration, like, you will be remembered, like, so much for the good, you know. Yeah. And then if you're like, if you're that type of teacher that like reprimanded me for what I was doing when I was needing help, you're going to be remembered for a different type of reason. And it's like, what do you want your legacy to be? Because we all have that type of memory where we pinpoint those type of people in our lives, whether they were helpful or if they hindered us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So next time you're at the store, you know, and you're buying a bunch of junk, you know, just remember a teacher that you may know, or your kid's teacher, you know, because I remember that a lot of times the stuff that they were asking for was for the kids who were low income that may not have had school supplies to kind of supplement that. So if you can, just, you know, if you're thinking about it, just do something nice for a teacher, because, you know, like I said,
they pay out of pocket a lot of times.
Yeah. And I have a couple teachers in my family, and I know, you know, I know the struggles that they go through personally. And so, yeah, shout out to all the teachers just in general. And, you know, thank you for being there for our children. Obviously, we don't technically have any, but the children that are out there, thank you for being there for them and continuing through this rough patch of what we're going through right now. And
we appreciate you.
Yeah, you're very much appreciated. And I hope that this next school year is one of the best. And I, you know, send out all my positive vibes to all the teachers out there in the world and wish them all the best. And yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That was so emotional.
Very emotional at the end, but I feel like, you know, some of that stuff needed to be said, because absolutely. I don't think that, you know, people don't realize how much of an impact you are at such an early age or in that adolescence. And I think it kind of needs to be pointed out sometimes.
It could be anybody that works at the school. Yeah. It could mm-hmm. be a counselor. It could be the lunch lady. The lunch lady I had, she was the meanest lady ever.
Old Agnes.
But she got along with my dad for like open houses and stuff. Mm-hmm. She was old school. You know, smoke a cigarette.
Oh, gosh.
You know, like and after my dad like befriended her and talked to her, she was so nice to me, like, you know, because you had to have exact change.
Yeah.
You got a lunch card. And she would say, Ian, well, you know, get your this, do that. Because it used to give me anxiety going through that.
Man. And the password that you had to remember for your lunch card. Every year you got a new one and you're like, oh, my God, how am I going to remember
this? Oh, I always had, like, the same one.
I remember the laminated lunch card. Yep. You had to scan it. And
ours had, like, little dots, I guess, because it told you, like, if you had a free lunch, reduced lunch, or the you had to pay full price or whatever.
You may have to pay 25 cents to a dollar.
Yeah.
And
it's like, bro, like, there's this whole push right now where they're trying, like, the government or whoever is in charge of all that are trying to take away free lunches. And it's like, bro, like, you're going to take away 1 to 2 meals for a lot of children who that's their only meal of the day. And
that could be their consistent meal, right?
Yeah, there. And I benefited from that personally from my own experience. And it's like, that is very much needed in this day and age, and even more so now. And it's like, if our children are forced to go to school, you know, against their will by the government, essentially, it's like they should be given a free lunch. Like, every child should be given a free lunch regardless, in my opinion.
Yeah, and obviously we're coming from a place of public school system.
Mm-hmm.
We did not go to private school.
Yeah.
And it's a different experience depending on what school system you went through.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, having enough money to buy a Bluebell ice cream snack was like, that could make your day back then. Mm-hmm. You know, getting a push pop or a fudge bar or the little scoop with the wooden spoon, you know.
Yeah.
Like, all the flavor was in that spoon.
I can still taste it. Sometimes his parents buy those, and sometimes we'll eat them.
And these kids are getting lemon and sherbet, and it's like, dude, what are you doing? Get the crunch bar.
Exactly. Get that crunch bar.
Or the bomb pop.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've covered my topic extensively. Ian, what do you have?
So, my back-to-school experience, one of the things that you look forward to, because once the school year's in and it's the weekend, you would have sleepovers, spend the night with your friends. So my topic is a very specific thing, but it's when you used to go rapping, to go rap somebody's house.
Oh,
you'd be with your friends, and you would have the cool parent or your parent that would take you out, buy a bunch of toilet paper, and you would go prank and go rap someone's house where they lived, you know.
Did your parents ever participate in that?
Yeah, my dad did. Yeah. My
he
dad
did?
My dad and my
Your dad
my
drove
best
you
friend.
And your friends around?
Yeah, him and his buddy, my best friend Sean.
I can't
his dad and my dad loaded up their minivan, Ford Windstar, sliding right side door.
Clean.
And we geared up, got some camo, and went to the store, loaded up on 12 packs or 16 packs of toilet paper.
Wait, was it the kind that is very linty or not so linty? Or was it like the thin? Did you get like the Scots, like the one ply?
I'm sure.
Yeah, you don't want to waste the good stuff in someone's house.
Hey, I don't know. I got to ask, because what's better? Is it the linty stuff?
You're talking about
linty?
A different economic time where you had enough money to buy as much toilet paper as you could.
That's
it's not
true.
During like COVID where there's none. You had a surplus. We had a surplus in the government at that time in the 90s. And so toilet paper was everywhere. It was dirt cheap. And you could go waste it and just throw it in a bunch of trees.
And eggs. Remember
and eggs,
too.
And you could buy the plastic cutlery and go fork the yard. Do y'all know about forking?
I didn't know about forking.
Forking was like you just go and stick a bunch of forks in the actual yard.
That sounds like work, though.
Yeah, it was a very specialized position within the rapping pranking, you know. So sometimes people busted out shaving cream, and it was starting to get a little bit more out there as far as the pranks go. But it was a rush. You had to be quiet. You had to be covert.
Yeah.
It was a very physical activity. You had to run, sprint around, and you had to have the arm strength to get the toilet paper in the tree, in the canopy. Yeah. And sometimes you'd have a kid out there that had no arm, and he's throwing it. It's not getting in there. It's hitting other kids. Whack. Like, yeah, it was a very make or break action.
I don't know. My memory's kind of on and off with some certain things, but I don't remember doing that. But I do remember, like, just, you know, sneaking out and, like, being quiet and stuff. But as far as egging goes, like, my, the house that I lived in Arlington, my brother's friends, so my stepbrother, his friends egged our house one time, and they egged my car. And I'm, like, not even in high school at that point. I'm, like, going to work, and I have this egg residue on my window. And I'm, like, God damn it.
Pain. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm, like, dude, leave my car alone. Like, egg the house.
See, I remember we had a train in front. Like, we were, like, maybe a house away from the train tracks.
Oh, God, that's the worst.
Well, after a while, you just get used to it. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to get used to it.
And we used to have this game, and like I said, this is how you know it was the 90s, because we would wait for the train to come, and we would run alongside it, and we would see how long we could run next to it while holding our hand on the side of the train. And I'm talking about a moving train. I'm not talking about, like, 10 miles an hour. Like, we would run, try to touch it, and then just keep up with it. And that's probably why we produce some of the best football players in the country, is because we're doing stupid shit like that. So I remember, I think I was leaving elementary school, and there were these new kids that came into our neighborhood. We never played with them because they were, like, weird. You know, they never went outside, and we were like, oh, screw those guys. They're fucking weird.
Yeah.
And but there was a huge field in front of our house, and then the train tracks were, like, right on the edge of it. So, like, you could go out there and play football with no problems. Like, you could play baseball out there, never hit a neighbor's house. And I remember one day, me and my buddy, we were leaving, but there was this big to-do when we came back. And apparently, I hope to God that they didn't see us playing that game, because we were much older. You know, we weren't, like, babies doing it. We were much older.
Yeah.
But I guess one of the kids, I can't remember if it was the boy or the girl, they were running up next to the train. Their arm gets caught. They slip.
Oh, no.
They fall.
Oh, no.
Rips their arm off.
Shut up.
What?
And I remember, like, it was this big thing at my school. And then, like, me and my friends, because we all lived in the same neighborhood, and we knew it was our neighborhood. Yeah, so we felt really bad, because we knew it had to be us that, you know, that they got that
from. That idea from, yeah. And then that sucks.
I was like, fuck, we can't play that game anymore.
Yeah. Like, well, mine is a little less, sorry guys, we had some technical difficulties right there, but we're back on. My topic was, kind of just like hangout activities. I think this is like more, you know, sleepovers, sometimes, or you would even maybe do it in school if you had like a little break or some downtime or something. And I'll post the pictures. I literally made some of this, so one of them is an origami fortune teller. I just kind of made one just to, you know, take a photo and then also just kind of play around with, just because I hadn't made one in so long. But it's, I don't even know how to describe. How would you describe it? It's made out of paper. You draw on it. You make the little numbers, and then you put a little fortune on the inside. I just kind of did like an 8-ball kind of sitch, you know, like I just put like maybe, no, yes, definitely, whatever the case may be. and I, you know, put little colors on the outside. But yeah, we'll take some videos of us playing with that on the Instagram. So definitely go follow the Instagram if you haven't already. And then I also, I'll post these to the Instagram as well. But a lot of girls will know this. I don't think either one of the guys know what I was talking about, when I said MASH. I said, have y'all ever played MASH? And they're like, no. Like, are you talking about the show? And I'm like, no. MASH, the game. And it's literally just a game that we would play, like girls would play. And it stands for, he just did the L for loser. Like, no. Like, everyone did this.
We were flicking our boogers at the girls.
Gross. That's disgusting. Disgusting. Anyways, you would play this game called MASH, and it stands for mansion, apartment, shack, or house. Obviously, we all landed in the apartment world.
Right there next to the shack. So it could be worse, guys.
Like, in Dusty Slate, he's like, do you want to go camping? Like, no, I already live in a trailer. I already know what it's like to be poor. I don't want to know what it's like to be homeless.
That's right.
It's like, oh my gosh. Okay, so anyways, I love Dusty Slate. Anyway, so I just kind of picked some little topics. So I picked spouse, job, pet, children, where you're going to live, and the type of car that you're going to have. And I made the guys fill these out. I filled them out as if I was, you know, in middle school or something, or high school, or whatever the case may be.
She came in like she was going to punch us and was like, fill this shit out.
Fill this out. And so we'll take some videos. I'm not going to do it on air because I think it'll take too long. But we'll take some videos of us like playing the game and all of that, and we'll post that to the Insta. But yeah, anyways, I think we're done with this episode. I think we had a really awesome episode. I really liked talking about, you know, the back to school stuff and all of that, even though my experience wasn't like great, but I loved hearing y'all's stories as well. But yeah.
Shout out to all the kids going back to school.
And all sucks the teachers and all the, you know, janitors and school lunch ladies and shout administrators and everybody who does anything to do with school. Like, shout out to all of y'all.
Summer's over.
Coaches.
Get back at it.
Right. Summer's over.
Shout out to all the DG baddies and the Walmart Wandas too out there shopping.
What's
right
a
now.
DG baddie?
Dollar General.
Oh. I'm like, I know what Winn-Dixie is.
I saw a couple of cute ones out there this weekend, so shout out to you. Keep doing okay. What you're doing.
All right.
You will be missed, but summer's over for you.
Bye-bye. Okay, so anyways, this is the part where we ask you to like, follow, and share, and subscribe to the podcast. It's called Growing Up Millennial. And if you haven't already figured that out, and we also have an Instagram, it's at Growing Up Mill, M-I-L-L. Please go follow us there. We post our newest content along with some photos. Yeah, that's about all we have right now. We're not on Apple. We will be on soon. I will let you guys know when we are. And I don't think it'll be too much longer. I'm going to try and get on it this week. So probably next episode we'll be able to get on to Apple as well. So just, thank you guys so much for listening and for sticking it with us this week. We really appreciate you guys. And you'll have a good week. Bye.
All right, bye.
Later.